Bros. Football. Bros.
Touchdown!
Hello, it's football season.
Fantasy football.
Give me a hell yeah!
This is fantasy.
Can white guys use the term fan?
Yes, we are back. Fantasy football season number 3 for us. It has been way too long since I've seen my bros. I am Keith Irizarry. You know them. John Salas, Alex Hardy. Alex, how are you, my man?
Keith, long time no see. This is incredible. We're doing fantasy football during a pandemic. What's going on, John Salas?
I am living the quarantine dream, bros. I haven't cut my hair since March, and now I'm back with you guys, and it's getting a little worse. Whoa. I'm losing hair as we speak.
All three of them, because the bald and the beautiful has been growing it out since March. Wow.
Yes.
Oh. Keith, I see you still got the bit going. Good for you.
Yeah, you know, we have upped the ante, and we're doing this with a little video so we can see each other as well. And yes, I do still have the beautiful bald head. You are actually the odd bird in this crew, Alex Hardy. I just want you to know that.
That's right, because I look like Larry Bird.
Shave your head. Anyway, guys, we have so much to get into.
Yeah, what are we doing, Keith?
Alex, you've come up with quarantine running back tiers. We'll get to that in just a few moments. But we are back, and a lot has happened. But I'll tell you this. If we look at the running backs, I don't see a lot of changes from last year as opposed to this year. Do you?
So you're telling me that after taking last season off and coming back during a quarantine, our top five running backs for 2020 are pretty much where we left off in 2019?
Not that much different, John. What do you think?
But wait, we're not going to bite on the Derrick Henry bait?
Okay. So we'll start before we get to who we have number six. I think it's pretty clear. Christian McCaffrey is the number one running back in all formats. I mean, if you play PPR, you're getting a number two wide receiver on top of the number one running back in the NFL. Beyond that, though, I can make an argument for pretty much any one of Saquon Barkley, Zeke Elliott, Alvin Kamara to fall within that RB2 to RB4 range. I think you have those four guys, and then we all have Dalvin Cook rounding out our number five running back.
Yeah, that is our top five. I would lean towards Saquon at number two, Zeke at three. If Dalvin Cook, if I knew that contract was squared away and there would be no chance of a holdout, I'd have him at four, and I've had Kamara at five.
So they're all there because they've had previous success. They're all playing in elite offenses, and the opportunities are great. Now, we can say that consistently from one year to the next. There's all something new that comes to 2020. Now, of course, Christian McCaffrey has a brand new head coach and offensive play caller, Matt Rhule and Joe Brady coming over from college. Should be exciting with Joe Brady and Teddy Bridgewater having that previous experience together in New Orleans. Saquon Barkley has a new head coach. Nobody's ever seen Joe Judge coach before. Zeke Elliott, also a new head coach. Retread with Mike McCarthy, but Kellen Moore is still there. Meanwhile, Alvin Kamara, that Saints brain trust hasn't changed whatsoever. So does the continuity give Kamara an advantage, or are you excited with what Barkley, Zeke, and Christian McCaffrey are all getting with new head coaches?
Nothing's changing with Barkley and McCaffrey. Let's just be real. Those are the two guys who are going to stay consistent. You can put you, Keith, you, Alex, and myself, coaches for any team that has Zeke, Saquon, and McCaffrey, and they're still going to get their touches. It doesn't matter. One, two, and three off the board does not even – I don't even care.
Yeah, the Alvin Kamara thing does – and I agree with you 100% there, John. The Alvin Kamara thing jumps out to me because he did miss some time last year, played through some injuries, but still averaged almost 7 targets per game, which is a large number, a robust number. The scary part is still not a running back you can count on to ever get to 1,000 yards running, more of an 800, 900-yard guy. And are the targets still going to be there for you? I believe they will, but that's the one knock I'll say on Kamara as an elite running back is of these top five guys, he's the only one that won't get 1,000 rushing yards.
And one thing I will say about Kamara real quick, with the addition of Emmanuel Sanders, and now you have him and Michael Thomas, I don't know, his two-way as a pass-catch running back, I think those numbers are going to go down as well. I don't know. Ooh. That's just going to be my bold prediction.
The biggest question mark for me on that Saints offense is Taysom Hill. And I'm going to say point blank, No, Taysom Hill is not going to impact whether or not I'm going to draft Alvin Kamara in the top three. What Taysom Hill does, though, is he gets the football in his hands inside the 10-yard line. Had it about 10 times last year, 10 times the year before that. And yet, Alvin Kamara lost double-digit touchdowns from 2018 going to 2019. While Taysom Hill got the football at the 10-yard line, last year when hurt, the Saints weren't giving Alvin Kamara the football on the 5-yard line. And in 2018, that was going to Mark Ingram. So whether that role is Latt Murray or a healthy Alvin Kamara, he may not get as many targets with the addition of Emmanuel Sanders. But I'm looking out for Taysom Hill and specifically who's carrying the football inside the 10-yard line for the Saints. Because, I mean, catching passes is great, but touchdowns is the key for your RB1, especially when you're picking in the top five.
All right, gentlemen, let's move on to some offseason changes, maybe some trends for 2020. DeAndre Hopkins, the last time we were talking, was an elite wide receiver for Deshaun Watson and the Texans. He now has Kyler Murray and the Arizona Cardinals. We can go many different directions with this. Let's go to the Texans side first. When you guys now look at Houston, how much of a downgrade is Deshaun Watson? Because I know myself, he now falls outside of that top five tier of quarterbacks. And then when you look at the wide receivers, can Will Fuller, Brandon Cooks, Randall Cobb, these dudes actually stay healthy?
I am so bored of the Houston Texans. I'm going to answer your question by talking about the Cardinals. If Deshaun Watson falls out of the top five for quarterbacks for you, does that mean Kyler Murray is now in the top five for fantasy quarterbacks, Keith?
Yes, sir. I'm all on the Kyler train.
I've got to be honest. I'm going to keep Deshaun Watson in my top five because without that dedicated pass receiver, the Texans hopefully can open up their offense. What fascinates me is without a guy that's going to command the ball, 200 targets in any given year, where that football is going to go. And I know that they got David Johnson in return. You can take it for what it is. David Johnson isn't the talent that DeAndre Hopkins is. But taking the X's and O's out of it entirely, just making it strictly about storylines, which, of course, we love on fantasy football. Do you think that David Johnson is the type of guy to be featured simply because he was the main piece that came back in the DeAndre Hopkins trade? Is Bill O'Brien and the Texans offense going to go through David Johnson as both a runner and a pass catcher like we used to see in those Arizona Cardinal days?
Yes, David Johnson. This is a big year for him. Let me tell you, I love this Texans offense as a whole. Now, before we get into it, let's just be real. Will Fuller will get hurt at some point, so let's just forget about him. I was going to talk about him later, but we're going to talk about him now real quick. Yes, I do believe we're going to get the David Johnson of old, but let's go to Brandon Cooks. He has not played less than 10 games since 2014, where he only maxed out at 10. You guys are scared of injuries. Do not be scared. In 2015 through 2018, he played 16 games. And last year with the Rams, he only played 14. Now remember, he was there with a Cooper Kupp and a Robert Woods. Brandon Cooks and a Deshaun Watson with a David Johnson going both ways and with a Kenny Stills and a Randall Cobb there as a little decoy. And God bless the injury gods. Please keep Will Fuller healthy. Brandon Cooks, double-digit touchdowns this year. Mark my words, this Houston offense is not going to look any different. Deshaun Watson makes that team. You can put anybody out there, and Brandon Cooks is an elite receiver. Stick with him and do not quit and draft him early.
John, I don't disagree with you. The schedule looks great when they play the Tennessee Titans twice a year. They play the Jacksonville Jaguars twice a year. But while you're looking to draft them early, I'm hoping to buy low and be active on the trade market. The first 4 weeks of the Texans season, are you ready for this, John?
Hit me with it.
They open up the 2020 NFL season on the road in Kansas City. Week two, they host the Baltimore Ravens. Week three, they go in Pittsburgh to play the Steelers. And then week four, they host the Minnesota Vikings. After a month of that brutal schedule, and again, the Texans have so much turnover on that offense outside of Deshaun Watson, I'd be shocked to see them put the pieces all together within the first month. Plus, they've got that really tough schedule. So I may target a Brandon Cooks if somebody gets a little tired of him after he gets shut down by the Ravens and the Steelers in back-to-back weeks.
Well, guys, we've already got a few hot takes from John Salas. Alex, it's clear to see that nothing has changed with Mr. Salas. I love it. I think that's a very good tactic by Alex. I agree with you. I'm not all in on much from the Texans, although I will say I'm not ready to put David Johnson out to pasture as of yet, even despite him being under 4 yards per carry. We can talk about him throughout our season this year. There have been a bunch of coaching changes that could impact fantasy. Kevin Stefanski now in Cleveland. What will that do? Guys, when we look at the Cleveland Browns, I think they're a difficult team to decipher because Baker Mayfield as a rookie looked like, okay, sky is the limit. This is going to be good. In year number two, uber inefficient and unable to get the ball into wide receivers' hands. And when he did, Odell Beckham Jr., albeit did have a quiet 74 catches, was dropping a lot of passes.
Really inefficient.
Really inefficient. So when we look at this Cleveland team that has now added Austin Hooper as well, how do we view the Browns?
I'm going to be real quick on this, and you guys can go, because I wrote this on my notes. I am staying far away from Cleveland, so my thoughts are irrelevant. And if you listen to me, which you should, stay away from Odell Beckham Jr., fraud, Jarvis Landry, fraud, Austin Hooper, and David Njoku. Who cares? Stay away. Kareem Hunt, Nick Chubb, yes, he is the only guy I believe in. Do not believe in any Kareem Hunt hype. Nope. Cleveland, I'm done. See, I put an X right there on my notes. You guys take this one away.
So the Cleveland Browns had so much turnover from this past year, and coming into 2019, they had all of the hype, and yet they didn't have all the personnel to address what they needed. And what they needed was to protect Baker Mayfield and adding Jack Conklin and Jedrick Wills. Austin Hooper was also one of the better blocking tight ends in the league. They've upgraded personnel where they've needed, and it wasn't just going after one key star in Odell Beckham. And as for Jarvis Landry, name another receiver that in the past 7 years has 80 catches. Just do it. I can't do it. But
exactly. Jarvis Landry went over 100 catches each year for 4 years in a row, 400 catches in his first four seasons. So,
yeah. And so I'm just there. You know what you're getting, and you know what you're getting with the Cleveland Browns. But I think baked into the 2020 draft prices was last season's letdown. Now, the fact that Odell Beckham is a receiver that you can target in the third round, if you opt to go running back, and we'll get to this with my running back tiers, but if you go two running backs in the first two rounds and you're coming around and Odell Beckham in the third round is your wide receiver one, I don't think you're going to complain about that too much. After all, you're going to have a dominant rushing crew. And Keith, I kind of want to lean on you because there's a lot of different directions that Stefanski can bring to the Browns offense, and particularly with the running backs. I want you to talk about the fine line of Nick Chubb's passing work and how long until Kareem Hunt comes into the game, whether that's on third downs as a change of pace back, or if you think he's going to get some of the workload from Nick Chubb like we saw the final 8 weeks of 2019.
Yeah, as we view it right now, sitting here in August, I'm still a little bit torn on this one, but I can lean on the fact that I look at Nick Chubb, who was elite before Kareem Hunt was there, then dropped to about 18 as it, overall for PPR running backs for the final six games of the season. Kareem Hunt jumped up to number 26 over the final six games. Kareem Hunt is going to be featured in this offense. John Salas, I'm sorry. I think you were just dead wrong on this one. Does it mean that Nick Chubb is not still a guy that you want on your team? 100% no. Draft Nick Chubb. Just don't shoot too high for Nick Chubb. Don't expect Nick Chubb to end the season as a top six or seven running back. There's going to be a lot more work for Kareem Hunt. There's going to be a lot. That's my fear about this Browns offense, is that I think there's going to be 1 week where Odell is Odell and a stud. And then there's going to be the Jarvis week. And then there's going to be the week that Austin Hooper, who has averaged over 73 catches for the last two seasons, gets you two touchdowns and eight catches. And then there's going to be a David Njoku week. And then there's going to be a Chubb week and a Hunt week. If you can gather what I'm saying, is it's not bad options to have on your rosters. I don't want to spend a lot of capital on them.
And the most important change from 2019 to 2020, we mentioned the guy coming in, Kevin Stefanski, but the guy going out in Freddie Kitchens, that was the most inefficient red zone offense. That was the most
The best coach in America.
How many times did we see the Browns march up to the 5-yard line and not be able to punch it in? There's got to be some regression to where they can actually convert some of those, you know, first and shorts that they just couldn't punch in. There has to be more opportunity for them to score when they get in the red zone. Right, John?
It's just so funny because talking about this, I remember watching the red zone every Sunday and every week. I can't tell you how many times they would go to the Browns inside the 10-yard line, 3-and-out, field goal, or they would go for it and fail. So just really great memories, and this is why I have X'd out the Browns. So please listen to me. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
All right, we continue to move along. Some other changes. I don't want to waste a lot of time on this one, but offensive coordinators, Denver's got Pat Shurmur, Chicago's got Bill Lazor, Jacksonville has Jay Gruden. And John, I know that you are really high on the Bronco offense, so I just want to slide over to you on this one. Pat Shurmur, so obviously draft everyone from Denver is what you're saying?
I don't want to give too much away here because I'm going to talk about this later, but Melvin Gordon, if you want to get back to his old form, it's going to happen this season. So yes, Cortland Sutton going to have a year, I believe, in Denver. But there's one thing I want to talk about because we're going to stay in the AFC West, and it's right here next on the rundown. So what a great transition. I am just the best. I know. Thank me later. I was so high. We've always texted, and I've said Damian Williams is a yes, yes, yes. Why is Edwards-Helaire? Did I botch that?
No, I think you're good.
Wow, beautiful. So I was saying in the rankings when we were looking at this, why is he projected so high? Now that Damian Williams is opted out, mm-hmm. He is the clear number one. Keith and Alex, I'm going to take this to you guys. How early do you draft him?
I'm going to jump in. Edwards-Helaire is a first-round draft choice. Yeah. I already put money down on – I think I got 10-1 odds on it. I've already put money down on Edwards-Helaire being the offensive rookie of the year. Give me that. Andy Reid is going to use him in so many ways. He is – I'm telling you this. He is a better version of Brian Westbrook, and Brian Westbrook was the god.
Listen, Keith, I would love to give you credit for that, but – Andy Reid literally said that adding Edwards-Helaire onto the roster was like adding Brian Westbrook. So just seeing Andy Reid's mustache like bristle and just the edges of his smile just curl and walrus whiskers. What they're telling us is that Edwards-Helaire is going to be the centerpiece to the NFL's number one offense. I mean, No, it's the $500 million. Hey, remember Patrick Mahomes got like $500 million?
Yeah, it was only $140 million guaranteed, though.
My God. Oh,
nothing
my gosh.
Too crazy.
Is it just me, or did that feel like that happened months ago? But I digress.
Doesn't everything happen months ago?
I feel like we're in 2021 getting ready to talk about like the 2021-2022 season, not the 2020-2021 season.
Well, careful what you wish for, John. You never know.
Yeah, stop that.
It's getting canceled after this episode comes out. Watch.
Oh, no. Don't even put that into the world.
I'm going to tease my running back rankings for later. After Damian Williams opted out, I put Edwards-Helaire in PPR leagues above Nick Chubb, Derrick Henry, and Kenyon Drake. I have him as my running back 7.
That feels about right to me. All right, so you're teasing what's coming up. Before we get to running backs, and you know, we like to do this on Fantasy Football where we bounce back and forth just a little bit. Really fast, we all comb through average draft positions, ADPs, and each one of us has a few guys that we go, huh? Scratch our head a little bit, and we wonder why they're so low. Alex, who's someone that had you scratching your head when you're looking at ADPs?
I mean, I'm about to give you a couple examples, but I'm just going to spend this time that in general, I'm really liking the wide receivers that we're seeing going between rounds 5 to 7. If I'm looking to target 3 running backs in the first 5 rounds, because I'm really looking for my wide receiver 2 and wide receiver 3 right in that middle part of the draft. And the two guys that I'm targeting in particular, and I know they've been sliding up, I want to make sure that you target them maybe in the 4th to 5th round range. There's only been one guy working out with Russell Wilson more this offseason than Antonio Brown, and that's DK Metcalf. Tyler Lockett was the dude, probably still could be the dude, but this could be the first time in Russell Wilson's career that the Seahawks can have two like stud wide receivers that are going to get you each 1,200 receiving yards, because I have no doubt in DK Metcalf's ability in the red zone. Yahoo ranked Metcalf their 25th receiver, so I really like him there. And Robert Woods is my Rams receiver to own. You can get him two rounds later than Cooper Kupp.
All right, John, who's your guy?
All right, Mark Ingram. This has been irritating me. He is ranked 26 ADP. I think it is BS. 15 total touchdowns last season. The 11th best running back last season, according to Yahoo. Put some respect on that man's name. Draft him higher. I do not care about Dobbins. Ignore that. Ingram has proved it. Go.
Give me some Marvin Jones love. ADP is around 39 or 40 for wide receivers. He was a top 30 wide receiver last year. If Stafford doesn't get hurt, and remember, he was on an MVP torrid pace, Marvin Jones was on pace for 84 catches and 12 touchdowns. Throw away 2018, and he's a guy that gets 100 targets per season. So give me some Marvin Jones love. Like, listen, he's not a stud, but for where he's getting drafted, I like him.
Right. I like Marvin Jones. It's so frustrating. I always have him on my bench for the weeks he explodes, and always start him when he goes 2 for 11 yards. And it's a Kenny Golladay afternoon.
Yeah. All right. So this is what everyone has been waiting for. The world has been waiting for almost 5 months of a pandemic. And we have a quarantine PPR running back tier that has been set up by our own Alex Hardy. I'm going to lay each one out, and you can kind of explain a little bit to us.
Yeah, I just wanted to start by saying that it's been a lot on all of us for the last 5 months plus during quarantine. So I wanted to have a little fun with this. I've ranked the top 50 running backs, and I've placed them in tiers that I've named after activities we've all been doing during quarantine. Start at the list. The first tier is the things we like to do. By the time we get down towards the end, there's less desirable quarantine activities that we all get to take part in.
Yeah, tier one, this is easy for who's in it. McCaffrey, Barkley, Zeke, and Kamara. The name, road trips.
I thought road trips definitely deserved to be the top quarantine activity. I went on a road trip to wine country back in June for a belated birthday trip because, well, a quarantine birthday is still a birthday. But I have to tell you, you're out on the open road, you get to go somewhere, you leave your house, and yet you're still safe, confined to your own vehicle. So that's why I think it's the best activity, and that's why Christian McCaffrey is the best running back.
I went on a road trip just like that, Alex, from my house to the liquor store and back, and it was beautiful.
What a road trip.
McCaffrey's a clear one. Barkley, Elliott, Kamara, we have them in that order.
Yeah, that I think that works for all of us. Tier number two, a day at the beach. Dalvin Cook, Joe Mixon, Nick Chubb, Kenyon Drake. Why a day at the beach, Alex?
You're going to go outside. You're going to leave your house. But this is certainly true for me. These running backs would be perfect. I would love to have them as my RB1. But I have to admit, as perfect as a day at the beach would be, I still have to spend about 45 minutes putting on sunscreen three times. So there's just a little bit that takes off of a perfect afternoon for me. And earlier this summer, it was a holdout, but you have constant injury concerns for Dalvin Cook. For Joe Mixon, you're talking about a Bengals offense that, you know, may not have the same amount of opportunities. Meanwhile, Nick Chubb, Kenyon Drake, you're not sure about their roles in their offenses.
If we continue a long day at the beach, we can also probably add in John Salas, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Derrick Henry. You got Miles Sanders, Aaron Jones. They all fit that mold as well.
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to have to disagree here at the day at the beach. Since I don't really like Miles Sanders, I think we're going to have to throw him. What?
You're wrong.
Miles Sanders will get the lion's share of carries. This is someone who ran for 818 rushing yards last year, had 509 receiving yards and 50 catches. I'm penciling Miles Sanders in, you know, provided he stays healthy, for about 1,100, 1,200 rushing yards, going to give you another 500-600 receiving yards, and going to get you double-digit touchdowns. Give me all of Miles Sanders.
I couldn't agree more, Keith. And before we get to the next tier, I just wanted to say, look out for touchdown regression for Aaron Jones. 18 total touchdowns last year is ridiculous for him to have to repeat. Plus, I don't know about you, but the Packers offense really did not get better if you were invested in Aaron Jones. That's for sure.
I would also be scared that they took a young running back in A.J. Dillon as well, that he could, you know, kind of dive into that a little bit.
He's only 260 pounds, so if they weren't giving Aaron Jones the ball in the red zone, they're not going to do it with A.J. Dillon there now. And beyond that, a majority of Aaron Jones's production was with Davante Adams off the field. So a healthy Davante Adams, Aaron Jones, his ceiling is it's peaked.
Tier number three, Alex Hardy, you have family gathering. It took months before we were allowed to do this, able to do this. And you have Austin Eckler, Josh Jacobs, James Conner, and Todd Gurley on that list.
There's nothing better than a family gathering. And yet, with a number of these running backs, there are these reoccurring themes, whether it be injury, whether it be opportunity. Sometimes you go and you want to see everyone in the family and you get stuck talking to that weird uncle for like 45 minutes and it gets uncomfortable. So how many times are we going to talk about the injury concerns for James Conner and Todd Gurley? How many times are we going to talk about, even with Melvin Gordon there, Austin Eckler gave up a lion's share of the running game offense? And a lot of question marks for Josh Jacobs, his role as a receiver.
What's interesting is you mentioned the weird uncle. Wouldn't John be the weird uncle at any party? With that being said,
100%.
Let's go to tier number four. And I'm going to let John talk on this one. Family gathering, but on Zoom. And Alex has Melvin Gordon, Chris Carson, Jonathan Taylor, and David Montgomery on that tier.
Now, can we get a definition of family gathering on Zoom?
So the difference between the family gathering on Zoom is you just don't get that same personal approach. You just don't know exactly what you're getting into, because Melvin Gordon and Jonathan Taylor, of course, on new teams, Chris Carson coming off of a serious injury, and who knows who's starting at quarterback for the Bears. So you have guys with a lot of opportunity in front of them that could be league winners available in the third, fourth round, but you really don't know what you're getting. There's a big question mark with each of these guys. And that's why I had them ranked lower than my previous tier.
Yeah, I agree here. David Montgomery, Jesus. I do not. Tariq Cohen being there always scares me. And with that Bears offense, I had David Montgomery on my team last year. And I can't tell you every Sunday how many times I was like, do I really trust leaving him in there? And then I just felt more comfortable taking him out. So, yeah, David Montgomery scares me. Carson will be fine. Melvin Gordon, I've been a Melvin Gordon guy. We are going to get the Melvin Gordon of old. So up on him. He is a great third to fourth round guy to get if you're looking for running backs early.
I have a problem quitting David Montgomery. I know he's averaging less than 4 yards per carry last year at 3.7, but ranked sixth in the NFL for carries inside the 5-yard line. The Bears stink. But David Montgomery is really, really talented, and I can't quit him yet.
Yeah, he's the dollar store version of Miles Sanders for me. He's going to have so much of that Bears offense going through him, but you don't know if it's going to be a negative game script and, you know, Nicky Foles is going to be chucking the deep ball to somebody else.
All right, let's move to tier number five. Takeout from your favorite restaurant, Alex Hardy, Mark Ingram, Leonard Fournette, Le'Veon Bell, and Raheem Mostert.
Yeah, at the time I made this tier, I think I want to move Leonard Fournette out of here, because as much as I love, you know, my favorite spot, my favorite Mexican spot from around the corner, they put it in those styrofoam containers that just get really wet. And so your tortillas kind of like lose their like crispiness to them. And that's sort of what I'm feeling with Mark Ingram, Leonard Fournette, Le'Veon Bell, and Raheem Mostert. Now, at least for the first three guys, I mean, Mostert was a stud in the playoffs, but let's stick with the first three guys. We have previous years of Ingram, Fournette, Le'Veon Bell as top five running backs. But coming into 2020, these guys aren't even close to the same guys they used to be. I mean, the Jaguars were trying to trade Leonard Fournette, and I just won't go anywhere near an Adam Gase offense. So I just, overall, look, you've got name recognition here, but at this price for a fifth round pick, and I know Bell goes even earlier, I'm not touching any of these guys.
I'll just say this about Le'Veon Bell is that, one, he is not that dude anymore. We know that. Two, I don't like him being in an Adam Gase offense, but it's going to be a better offensive line, and I think they're going to utilize him better. If the price point is right, and I don't think it will be, but if the price point is right, you could do worse than Le'Veon Bell.
Put respect on Mark Ingram's name, gentlemen, please.
You love him.
All right, I'll go back to this. Lamar Jackson ran the ball like 120 times, and I think 20 or 30 of those carries were inside the 10-yard line. Dude only had 6 rushing touchdowns. Lamar Jackson is going to get the bulk of the rushing touchdowns. And Mark Ingram loses his value right there.
I've already looked at 15 total touchdowns. You name me guys ranked in front of Mark Ingram in the running back list who have 15 or more touchdowns. I will probably name one for you off the top of my head. It is Christian McCaffrey. So we are going based off production. He was there last year. Do it again this year.
Yeah, I'm going to throw this out. I believe that the Baltimore Ravens are going to utilize Mark Ingram less this season because they want to win a Super Bowl. They will need him in the postseason. So from a fantasy standpoint, I think this is going to screw us over a little bit if you're an owner, if you have shares of Mark Ingram. Tier number six, it's everyone's favorite. Let's Netflix and chill. So we have David Johnson, Kareem Hunt, DeAndre Swift, and Cam Akers. Alex Hardy, why did you choose to name these running backs Netflix and chill?
David Johnson is like the office for me. It's something I've relied on in years past, and I'd watch over and over and over again. And the same goes for Kareem Hunt. Maybe Kareem Hunt's my Parks and Rec. I love these dudes. I'd watch them over and over and over again. But something is bringing me to the new Netflix original series, and I'm comparing those to the two rookies. DeAndre Swift and Cam Akers have the upside of the potential to be three-down running backs. David Johnson used to be that dude. Kareem Hunt used to be that dude. So for me, if I'm just trying to Netflix and chill, I'm trying to see if I'm into my old thing or I'm ready to try something new.
I'm right with you there, Alex. Cam Akers, he is going to be that thing you want to try on Netflix, that show just like Tiger King when we all got to watch it early quarantine. That is the guy, Cam Akers. If he's sitting there, just chill with him. Give us some time. He's going to get exotic and he's going to win you some games.
Embrace the weird. Tier number seven. Let's try that new recipe. J.K. Dobbins, Devin Singletary, Ronald Jones. I want to jump in on this one first because I got a little bromance going with Devin Singletary. Loved him last year. It worked out for me. 775 rushing yards. The problem with him, he's not going to get the goal line carries. Mm-hmm. And if I'm going to guess, that's probably why Alex Hardy has him a little bit lower.
Yeah, I just don't see the ceiling for him. They really like Zach Moss that they used a third-round pick on, and ultimately I think he's going to take that job from Singletary. But you said it from the start. Whether it's Moss or Devin Singletary, they're going to lose red zone touches to Josh Allen because they're anywhere inside the three-yard line. Big dude's going to just plow through for that Bills offense.
Gentlemen, let's run through the final tiers of running backs. Tier 8, a home improvement project. Matt Breida, Jordan Howard, Sony Michel. I think that's pretty obvious because all of those guys have had their highs, had their lows. They relate to a home improvement project. Tier number 9 is my favorite one for a name, Alex Hardy. Preparing for the battle at Costco. Tevin Coleman, James White, Tariq Cohen, Duke Johnson, Marlon Mack, Philip Lindsay, Kerryon Johnson, Antonio Gibson.
So Gibson, I sort of slid in at the end because I think he could take over as a true workhorse. These running backs have a clear number one standing in their way, but whether it be due to injury or the head coach decides to make a change, we can really see one of these guys break out. And I want to highlight Marlon Mack in particular because Frank Reich was asked and was point blank saying that Marlon Mack is still our starter. We don't know at what point Jonathan Taylor is going to take over. I mean, listen, the guy carried the ball 250 times a year at Wisconsin, but was never involved in their passing offense. I don't think he will be. That's a role that Marlon Mack covets from day one. And maybe because he's the better pass-catching running back, plus we have a pandemic and no training camps to speak of, Marlon Mack may be the type of guy that you take a flyer on late in the draft and that you could start for the first 2 to 3 weeks of the season. I'm going to say this once and only once. Use your last round pick on Damian Harris, who will start the season as the Patriots' number one running back.
Tier number 10, that quarantine haircut. Lat Murray, Chase Edmonds, Madison, Pollard, Henderson, Moss, Vaughn. Why quarantine haircut?
You get one change, and all of a sudden your outlook is completely different. Like I started to say with guys like Marlon Mack and Philip Lindsay and Duke Johnson, anything happens to Alvin Kamara, Kenyon Drake, Dalvin Cook, Ezekiel Elliott, Lat Murray, Chase Edmonds, Alexander Mattison, Tony Pollard, they can win a league for you.
Tier 11, cleaning out the garage. This one feels like a John Salas quarantine type of thing. Malcolm Brown and Boston Scott. I mentioned A.J. Dillon. You got AP. You got Hyde. You got Gus Edwards, Justin Jackson, Jerick McKinnon.
One more reason to hate on Mark Ingram. Gus Edwards didn't go anywhere, and they still gave him the football. They gave him the football over 100 times last year. They're going to do it again.
Mark Ingram's still going to be a stud.
Something catastrophic has to happen for you to end up with any of these guys in a starting role. But I'll just say that week one, out of this cleaning out the garage tier, Malcolm Brown, Adrian Peterson, and Carlos Hyde will all be starting running backs.
Yes, and real quick, let me go on this because I always clean out my garage every fantasy year. Adrian Peterson, get him. He's going to get on streaks. And seems like he kind of gets a little better with age. He goes on little stints. Get him while you can and trust the AP.
Can't believe it. That is episode one of the brand new season. Next time around, we got some players that could surprise you. We could talk about some offensive lines that could be some difference makers. Oh, and we definitely have to dive into some real live sleepers that could change your season. For Alex Hardy and John Salas, I am Keith Irizarry. Remember, download the Fantasy Football Podcast on iTunes, wherever else you can get your podcast. Guys, the NFL season, let's make sure it happens. Let's continue to rock.
And enjoy the rest of your Friday.
We're back,
my
fellas.
Beautiful boys here on Friday. I can't be celebrating, but I'm going to the weekend.